This past week, I took Gertie to the Harpeth River Greenway. There's the different locations and the access points, and we have one very near to our house. And so we just discovered that this past week, and we were walking on some of the paved walking roads that are there, and then we even found a couple of trails that led down to the river itself. And that's exactly what we were looking for. Gertie actually came equipped, ready to do some heavy-duty work down at the river. She brought her trusty pail, and then got one of her mama's spoons out of the kitchen, and we were ready to do some exploring and to do some digging, and we were actually quite successful. We caught a live crawdad, which is at our house right now. I don't know that it's still living, but we do have a crawdad at our house. We even caught a fish. It was dead already, but we caught it nonetheless, and then tossed it back. But that was a very enjoyable afternoon. We was an hour and a half, couple of hours almost before we really needed to start getting back home. And it was starting to get dark. Actually, it wasn't starting to get dark so much as there was starting to be some clouds coming. And they weren't actually rain clouds. They were just some of the gray clouds that obviously the sky is full of right now outside. And Gertie, as is often the case with little ones, she saw gray clouds and she immediately thought, a storm's coming. And she was concerned about that. And so where did she go? Well, as we started making our way back up the hill, there's a big bunch of rocks, a bunch of rocks that had all been piled together. And wouldn't you know, Gertie found this formation of rocks right here, and she got hunkered right in that little cleft of rocks right there. And I had to snap a picture of that, even though she was a little bit distressed and scared in the moment, because just the formation of the rock, my picture probably doesn't even do justice to the way those rocks were laying and what I was thinking. Because as I saw her there kind of tucked back in that way, my mind immediately went to a song that we sing in our hymnal. I see some folks already nodding along. It's that song that makes me think of this right here. Here's what I was thinking. That's my hand. I was thinking of that rock formation forming a hand almost, covering her. And I thought of the song that says, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and covers me there with his hand." And this evening we're going to sing that song in just a moment. It's number 385, "He Hideth My Soul." If you are using a songbook tonight, you can be getting that out. We're not going to look at all of the words to this song. There's almost too much for us to look at in this song for us to do it justice. It really maybe merits its own sermon altogether. We sing this song from time to time here at Hillview, and with good reason. It is a great hymn. It is one of the thousands of songs that is credited to Fanny J. Crosby that she wrote in her lifetime. And it does draw upon several different biblical ideas and biblical themes. And again, we just don't have time to talk about all of those in this short time this evening. However, I want us to just kind of lock in on and notice what I think is probably the main idea of the song. It is where the chorus is going, and it's actually where the title of the song comes from. It's that line, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock." And that idea is taken from the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter. In one of the most unique incidents in all of Scripture, Moses, you will remember, he is leading the children of Israel. And at this particular point in time, he has nearly reached his boiling point with leading these unfaithful people. These stubborn people, they have murmured, they have been critical of him, they have been rebellious to him, and more importantly, rebellious to the Lord. They lacked faith and were not obedient. And so Moses, he was tasked with this daunting task to lead these people. Moses, like many good leaders, he needed some encouragement. He needed a pick-me-up here, and he needed the Lord's help to be able to continue on. And so after making a couple of, I would say maybe modest requests to the Lord, Moses in verse 18 then makes a request of God that really seems almost unthinkable to us. I like how big Moses is thinking here, because he asks this in Exodus 33 and verse 18. Moses said to God, "Please show me your glory." Wow. We sometimes talk about praying big prayers, big prayer requests. Our God is able to do far more than we ask or think. Moses was thinking in those big kinds of terms. God, I want to see your glory. God said to him, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." It really is awesome to think about God honoring this request and manifesting himself to Moses in this somewhat physical yet very carefully limited way. Moses' experience here was no doubt a confirmation of the presence of God, the power of God, and it served as a reminder to Moses that God would be his source of refuge, his source of protection, and his source of care. And I don't know everything about God covering Moses on that fateful day, but it is clear here that Moses needed that covering. God is very explicit as to why that covering was much needed. He needed to be hidden in the cleft of the rock, lest he be overwhelmed and consumed by God's great glory. You know, the more that I think about that, the more I realize that in many ways you and I, we are in the same predicament as Moses is even today. In that we want to see God's glory. Do we not? Is there anybody here that, not really interested in that? I don't really care about God's... No, we want to see that. It's part of the reason we gather together as we have this evening to sing praises to Him, to sing about His glory, because we want to see that. We want to see Him face to face. More than all of that, we want to be in His presence. That is what we long for. That is what our hearts cry out for. But we recognize that there's a problem, at least right now. We recognize that sin has created this separation between us and God. How in the world can imperfect and unholy creatures like us, how can we ever even begin to approach an awesome and perfect and thoroughly holy God? There's nothing that I can do on my own to fix that. There's nothing that I could ever think of or dream up within my own mind that could ever rectify that problem, lest I be consumed as well by His power, by His magnificence, and by His glory. And that is exactly why we, of course, need someone to go between us and God. I preached about that a few weeks ago, thinking about Jesus as our mediator. What we need, in the words of this song, is a wonderful Savior. We need a Savior who not only can save and spare us from the fires of hell and destruction and damnation, but we also need someone who can help to shield us from the awesome, burning perfection of a holy God. And the good news of the gospel is that that Savior, of course, has been provided to us in Jesus. And in Colossians, the third chapter, after saying some things about how we have been buried with Christ in baptism, we've been united with Jesus in baptism, Paul makes an amazing statement in Colossians 3 and in verse 3. He says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Dwell on that for a moment. We are hidden safely in Jesus. Jesus gives us access to the Father without us being consumed by His glory. And it makes it possible for us to have the kind of close relationship that we long and desire to have with the God who created us. It's the same relationship that Moses desired to have with God. How thankful we ought to be that through Jesus, we can be hidden in Him. And while it is true that our position in Christ right now, it does not afford us the fullness of God's glory, We don't get to enjoy the fullness of everything that He is right now. There is coming a day, Paul goes on to say in the very next verse, that when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. On that day, all of us whose lives have been hidden in Christ, we will get to be with the Lord directly in His presence. We will get to be with Him face to face. In the words of 1 John, we will see Him as He is. And not only will we get to behold His glory, we're going to get to share in that glory on that day. No longer will we have to be hidden in the cleft of the rock. Instead, we will be in the presence of our God throughout the ages of the ages, forever and ever. The question tonight is are you ready for that great and awesome moment and day when Christ appears? Is your soul hidden with Christ in God? If not, this evening, we would sure like to help you, to help to remedy that situation, to help you to become a child of God. We're going to sing this song in just a moment. Adam's going to lead us in verses 1, 2, and 4 of He Hideth My Soul. And as we sing this song, think long and hard about whether you can place yourself in the words of this song. Is that being said of me? If not, can we help you tonight to render your obedience to the gospel? Or brother or sister, can we help you to get back into the cleft of the rock, safely there in Jesus, as we're hidden there with God? What a wonderful privilege and blessing it is to be a part of His family. If we can help anybody in any way, we're going to invite you to come right now to make that known while we stand and while we sing.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of His love, and guards me there with His hand. And guards me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He takes my burdens away. He pulled me up and I shall come in. Perfect salvation is wonderful love.